Both of us sighed when we pulled out of the parking lot and hit the road for Peter's house. For so many years, I had avoided the family on holidays, or had made only the quickest of appearances. I never understood the incessant need to be with family on special days. All families did was fight, bicker, belittle, and abuse each other. Yet, that year, Sarah and I had agreed to spend several days at Peter's. Sarah didn't have any siblings or other close family apart from Rose, so when Maddie invited us, Sarah had jumped at the chance. It seemed her desire to be with family, even one as dysfunctional as mine, overcame her desire for a peaceful holiday. I said yes only because Maddie asked, and to make Sarah happy. But once we started heading to the house, both of us had reservations. No one should make plans for Christmas months ahead of time, I thought, or even weeks ahead. Christmas always seems so far off when you agree to attend, but when the day arrives, it's as if you'd rather be kneecapped than go. Sometimes I wished I were an orphan, like Hank. One solace was that Maddie had insisted Hank come, too. He sat in his carrier in the back seat and meowed, or talked, as Sarah called it, the entire car ride. I had become unashamedly, if not surprisingly, attached to the little guy. We arrived before my parents, so at first the evening was relaxed. Peter seemed at ease. Maddie had a cheese and sausage platter out, and all of us sat around nibbling and chatting. In the background, It's a Wonderful Life was on TV. All in all, it wasn't a bad night. When I slipped into the kitchen to get another cocktail, Maddie followed. As soon as we were out of earshot, she slapped me on the back. "Why didn't you tell me you got Sarah a ring for Christmas?" I filled my glass with some vodka and mixed it with cranberry juice. "You'd never asked?"
"I can't believe you didn't spill. It's a huge deal. And nice job with the ring. It's beautiful."
Maddie grinned. It struck me that her smile was too wide. She looked too happy. I had hoped that she wouldn't notice the ring at all. "Thanks," I said, feeling suddenly awkward. "It's her birthstone. Why is it a big deal, though? It's not a diamond."
"It's a piece of jewelry. Women love jewelry. And it's a ring. She put it on her ring finger. Seriously, how do you not know this?"
Maddie crossed her arms, waiting for me to respond. I gulped my Cape Cod and stared at her. The bracelet Maddie had given me jangled on my wrist as I took another gulp. She didn't say much when she opened it. She just gave me a hug.
"Have you noticed she keeps staring at it? She never even told me you got it for her. I could tell by the way she looked at it, and then at you."
I made another Cape Cod. Why did some women have to make such a big deal about things? I had seen the ring and thought she would like it. End of story. But no, Maddie and Sarah had to ponder the meaning. What did the ring signify? What were my intentions? It was a gift. That was the intention. Why can't people just give a gift? When Maddie had given me the bracelet, I hardly knew her, but I had been with Sarah for more than a year. I bought her gifts all the time. It was just a gift. She should know it was just a gift. Plus, it matched the necklace I got her for our anniversary. My racing thoughts were interrupted by the doorbell. Maddie's face paled, and my stomach flipped. Enter the Scotch lady. "Well, I guess the fun is over." I made another drink for myself and one for Sarah, even if having another drink was probably a mistake. I walked into the front room, still carrying the drinks, to see Peter fawning over my mother's new outfit, yet another navy blue power skirt and blazer. Her white shirt looked so crisp it might crack in half. I shook my head. No one wanted to see that, I thought. Her hair was pulled back too tight in a bun. I wondered if she'd recently had work done. "Oh, great. You brought the cat." Hank took one look at the brittle Scotch lady and jumped into Sarah's lap. I walked over to them and handed Sarah her drink before taking a seat on the armrest of her chair. Hank purred as I scratched his head. I still hadn't said hello to my parents, and I wondered if I should even bother. My father sat down on the couch and opened a magazine. Peter chatted to Mom. Maddie, sitting near us, said nothing. Yes, I loved the holidays. The tension was so worth it. I tried not to remember that I could have been sitting in front of a roaring fire in a cabin in the mountains instead, absorbed in a good book, a drizzle of snow covering the ground. Stop it, Lizzie. You're only torturing yourself. After dinner, my parents stayed longer than was normal. I kept staring at my watch. When my mother left the room, I got up to get some quiet time in the kitchen. Maddie and Sarah were deep in conversation, so I didn't think anyone would miss my company. I stared out the window. The house was on a hill, overlooking Denver. Beyond, the city lights twinkled in the cold, cloudless night. I heard the pad of feet entering the room, but ignored the intrusion. The person opened the back door of the kitchen. While trying to stay focused on the lights, I heard a weird shushing sound. Turning, I saw my mother trying to push Hank out the door. "What are you doing?" I rushed over and scooped the kitten up.
"Oh, I just thought he would like some fresh air."
"Bullshit." Her eyes glistened with hatred. "Hank is an indoor cat. There are coyotes and foxes everywhere out there."
"What? You don't want your precious child to make new friends?"
"He's part of the family now. We don't associate with those beneath us, remember? You taught me that." She sniffed.
"Well, he certainly didn't learn that from you."
"Meaning?"
"You know perfectly well what I mean. You're always throwing it in my face."
She moved closer to me.
"It's because of you we can't have bigger functions this time of year."
"By all means, throw bigger functions. I don't give a fuck if I don't associate with you or your friends." "Come now, you two, play nice." Maddie entered the room, hands on her hips. Her voice was firm. Sarah was right behind her. I glared at my mother for a second longer. Then I said, "Thank you, Maddie, for the reminder. I wasn't taught that by my parents." I turned my back on Mom and prepared to leave the room. My mother retorted,
"I don't even understand half the stuff you say. If you want to say it, say it. Don't hide behind snide remarks."
I whirled to face her. Her words were bursting in my mind like bubbles. "Bitch, coward, liar, cunt, two-faced whore," I wanted to shout. How I despised her. How I hated being related to her. How I wished she would. Sarah took Hank from me, and I melted at her sorrowful eyes. No, it wasn't the right time. I stalked out of the room and headed upstairs. No one spoke. I heard the footsteps of their dispersal. A few minutes later, Sarah came upstairs and we went to bed. Sarah's final words for the night were, "Gotta love family time." I buried my head in the pillow. Hank jumped off the bed and hid in the closet, curled on a pile of clothes.